Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Sam Stanky, the attorney for Plaintiff Carla Sammons and appellant in this matter, and I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. The District Court's ruling here should be reversed because it interpreted the ambiguous undefined terms beneficial effects and beneficial, these terms that have no precise nor generally accepted definition. The Court interpreted these as limited to long-term beneficial effects. Now, an ordinary reader of this plan would not recognize this limitation in the terms beneficial and beneficial effects. The District Court incorrectly construed this ambiguity in favor of the insurer, Regents, instead of the insured, my client, Ms. Sammons, and that violated the rule of contra proferentum. Since the plan could be reasonably interpreted to cover a surgery, a total disc replacement, I'll say TDR for shorthand purposes here, to cover TDR, it could have been reasonably interpreted to cover TDR because the scientific evidence that my client submitted shows that the TDR has more beneficial effects and no harmful effects than
wait a minute.
At 24 months.
It seems to me
that Judge Tashima.
The primary question here is whether or not all that, what you're talking about, beneficial effect, you know, efficacy has been shown 5 years out. Isn't that the question, the 5 years out?
According to defendant Regents, that Regents is only scientific evidence supporting that five-year requirement is an unsupported statement that it submitted, citing articles and scientific evidence that it chose to omit from the record. So therefore, on de novo review, the District Court should not have deferred to Regents' unsupported opinion that it needs to be shown at 5 years. Instead, it should have looked at the scientific evidence that was in the record before it, which District Court...
So what is your position that evidence of efficacy 2 years out is all that the plan requires?
Yes, that meets... That's beneficial, according to an ordinary person's understanding of the word beneficial. The plan does not define the term beneficial. So an ordinary person wouldn't interpret beneficial to be limited to a minimum time frame.
Do you think that, in fact, beneficial needs to be given some texture by medical and scientific foundation?
Yes, and it does here. We have
then aren't we in a situation of that it's not so much the plan interpretation, but it's the factual development that has been directed by the plan and that's been offered by you and determined by the court?
Well, we don't take issue with the District Court's finding that the TDR procedure is at least as beneficial as the alternative at 24 months. We take issue with the court's decision that wasn't good enough, that was not beneficial enough to meet the plan language to take it out of the investigational exclusion.
It is a semantic issue, you know, how beneficial does it need to be? I mean, you say 2 years is good enough. I mean, what if the evidence was 6 months out, looked pretty good? Is that enough?
Under the plain language of the plan, yes.
Right. It just says, a day? Is a day enough? Well, let's give a month because you got to recover a little bit.
Probably you wouldn't have a peer-reviewed randomized study that only had results at 1 day.
I said a month.
Or a month. But if it did, if there was... scientific evidence as defined by the plan that is randomized, published in a peer-reviewed journal, and it said that, yeah, there were beneficial effects, then that would meet the plan's language because the plan's use of the language beneficial is ambiguous. It's undefined, so we have to go with what an ordinary reader of the plan would recognize. An ordinary reader of the plan would not assume that you need at least 5 years of results for TDR. They would say, oh, it shows beneficial effects at 24 months. That's beneficial.
What is our standard of review when we review the reasonableness of the administrator's interpretation of the plan?
De novo. The parties agreed that this case.
Well,
no.
Our review. Well.
Yeah.
I guess that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
The parties
right.
Stipulated at district court that de novo review, and that's our argument, is the district court de facto conducted right. An abuse of discretion or arbitrary and capricious review. They were too deferential to the unsupported opinions submitted by Regents. Regents submitted opinions, reports by an independent review board, and they cite articles that are omitted from the record. Regents did not submit those. So on de novo review, the district court should have given more weight to the actual scientific evidence, which it found showed beneficial effects at 24 months. And and should have given that much more weight, as well as info from my client's treating physician.
I want just to make sure I understand. Your argument is that this investigational exclusion is ambiguous.
Some of the language in it is.
Well, no, just don't tell me some of the. Your argument is that it's ambiguous.
Yes, and that ambiguity should be construed in favor of my client, not the insurer.
Right, because there are reasonable interpretations.
Correct.
They're all competing or interpretations that would be reasonable, whether it's 2 years, 5 years, or 6 months.
Right, right.
And which language, just to be clear what we're talking about, can you tell us a specific language that you view as ambiguous?
Yeah, yes, Your Honor, if we look at the definitions. Page.
We're looking at the plan?
Yes, we're looking at the plan. Mm-hmm. I'll give you the number. SAM-EX1.
About the middle of the page?
About the middle of the page, investigational. Mm-hmm. Yes, investigational means a health intervention we have classified as investigational. We will review scientific evidence. Now, that's important because you jump to the next page where scientific evidence is defined as scientific studies published in or accepted for publication by medical journals that meet nationally recognized requirements for scientific manuscripts and that submit most of their published articles for review by experts or finding studies or research conducted, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, but the investigational definition says they'll look at scientific evidence as well as information from the treating physician. My client submitted both on her appeals with Regents, and the district court correctly found that that evidence showed that the TDR procedure was...
As I understand it, if you read the definitions of scientific evidence or health intervention or health outcome, there's no time that is 5 years, 10 years, it's not... Here,
it's right. Ambiguous on
so it's
it,
ambiguous
yes.
as to that. Isn't that your is that your argument? That's
that
I understood your argument.
Yes, it is. And I would say specifically the terms beneficial as used in an investigational and health outcomes definitions, beneficial and beneficial effects are undefined and ambiguous. An ordinary person would interpret scientific evidence that a TDR is at least as beneficial at 24 months. That's beneficial under the plan. The plan doesn't say there's any kind of minimum time frame that the benefits must be shown over. Here we have benefits shown at 24 months. That suffices to take it out of the investigational exclusion.
So the other side says, well, scientific evidence obviously means long term because that's the only way you can evaluate the effects.
Well, the definition of science...
And that is unambiguous, and therefore, here, the district court said 5 years, and that's good enough.
Well, if you look at the definition of scientific evidence in the plan, it does not say long-term. It says published in or accepted for publication by medical journals.
Universally speaking, scientific... what does a scientific study usually mean? It usually means... you know, a long-term kind of study.
Mm-hmm. And we've got scientific studies that deem 24 months long-term enough to publish these results.
Well, you see, but going back to the, I guess you call the definition of investigational, the second to the last bullet point says scientific evidence must show that the health intervention is as beneficial as any established alternative.
Yes.
Now, as I understand the argument of Regents, under that definition, they could require showing that because the established alternatives, you know, last 5 to 10 years or more, that you have to show it's going to be beneficial 5 years from the time of the operation, which you have not shown.
Well,
isn't that their argument? I'm not asking whether you agree with it. Isn't that their argument?
I think their argument is that beneficial should be interpreted to mean
long-term results.
Right.
Long-term only because that's what established alternatives have shown, that they're beneficial, you know, 5 to 10 years out.
Well, the established alternative here would be a fusion procedure. And
right. It's good for 5 years.
Well, the scientific evidence in the record shows that TDR is at least as beneficial at 24 months.
Right, that's what I mean. So there's no showing that's beneficial for 5 years. And
okay,
that's what the established alternative is. So you haven't met the established alternative. Isn't that the Regent's argument?
Sort of.
So what's your response to that you haven't met it for 5 years?
Well, under the plain language of the plan, which does not say anything about 5 years or long-term or minimum requirement.
As beneficial as any established alternative. And any established alternative, you know, is diffusion, which is good for 5 years. So you have to be as good as the established alternative over 5 years.
Well, by that logic, we could regions could keep kicking the can down the road indefinitely and say,
no, it depends on what the scientific evidence shows as to the established alternative.
The scientific evidence on the record shows it's as beneficial as the established alternative at 24 months. That should suffice under this plan
language.
Well,
when you say that should, is that just a matter of, you know, arbitrary, you know, how do you get to 24 months is good enough to meet as beneficial as any established alternative?
Because the plan language does not put a time period on it. So therefore, an ordinary person wouldn't read beneficial to mean has to be shown at 5 years. So if it shows at 24 months.
I think you're avoiding looking at the background against which you have to judge that is that the established alternative is good for 5 years. So if yours is only good for 2 years, that means you have to do it, you know, 2.5 times as much.
Well, the scientific evidence doesn't exactly show that. It shows that the TDR is at least as effective as the established alternative
for 2 years.
At 24 months. It shows no harmful effects at 24 months. So therefore, it meets the health outcome language in the plan as well. Its overall beneficial effects on health must outweigh the overall harmful effects on health.
Well, what you're saying is this, all this verbiage about, you know, investigational and beneficial and established alternatives, because it doesn't itself set in any time frames, which I assume would be different from procedure to procedure, that you know, you can interpret under contra preferendum any way you want to, almost.
Yeah, it's ambiguous.
Yeah, exactly right.
And under contra preferendum, that ambiguity should be resolved in favor of the insured to say that 24 months benefits, that's beneficial.
As Judge McKeown said, suppose you show it's beneficial for 1 month. That's good enough, isn't it? Under your interpretation of what investigational means and what beneficial means, right?
Yeah, because the plan left it ambiguous, the word beneficial. So therefore, any ambiguity should be resolved in favor of the insured, not the insurer. The district court erred by resolving that ambiguity in favor of the insurer. And I'm getting low on time, but I'd argue that the court should do the same thing it did in the Simkins and Kunin cases, which I cited in my brief. This case is a lot like Kunin, which is a 2000 case, in which it was also de novo review, and Simkins was also de novo review. That was a 2000 case regarding tissue transplant and whether chemotherapy counts as a tissue transplant. The court ruled that a person of average intelligence would construe the term tissue transplants not to include stem cells and chemotherapy, and that same analysis should apply in this case, which is that an ordinary person of average intelligence wouldn't interpret the term beneficial to require a minimum time period. They would say, oh, the scientific evidence shows more beneficial than harmful effects at 24 months. That is beneficial under this plan language. Is beneficial is ambiguous. That ambiguity should be resolved in favor of my client. So I argue that the court should do what it did in Simkins here, which is reverse what the trial court did and order the trial court to enter judgment in Salmon's favor, since the Regents has never refuted the scientific evidence that it's at least as beneficial 24 months. They've only said their opinion that that's not long enough. 5 years is longer. But they haven't submitted any scientific evidence to support the necessity of a 5-year time frame either. So therefore,
ask them. I think we still haven't really... We haven't determined what falls within established alternatives. That's really where it comes down to the rubber meets the road here. So why don't we ask the Blue Cross.
Okay, I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honors.
May it please the Court, Eric Lindenauer here today representing Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oregon, the Oregon Bankers Union Trust Fund, and the trustees of that trust fund. Your Honors, Judge Simon's finding that artificial lumbar discs fell within the ERISA plan's investigational exclusion because the scientific evidence did not permit conclusions as to benefits or detriments beyond 24 months was not clearly erroneous.
How did he interpret the exclusion?
Well, I can't tell you besides what he wrote in his opinion, but he
Well, did he make a legal conclusion as to what how the plan should be interpreted?
He made a finding of fact specifically that the benefits of spinal surgery.
Can you do with the number of that finding?
Yeah, it's an excerpt of record 15, and part of it I'm prepared to tell you paraphrase, and part of it I have a quote on. This is in his Rule 52 findings and conclusions. Benefits of spinal surgery deteriorate over time, and complications increase over time, and this is the quote, to permit conclusions concerning the effect of artificial disc replacement surgery on health outcomes, the scientific evidence must address outcomes at least 5 years after surgery, end quote. Now, that statement is based on facts elicited in the administrative record at two places. First of all, in the medical policy that was submitted as evidence, the underlying document.
I understand what he did, but my question to you, you still haven't answered yet, is how did he interpret the plan?
How did he interpret the
yes.
plan?
And did he view it as ambiguous or unambiguous? What did he do?
He viewed it as unambiguously including a temporal component. And if I could speak to at least my understanding of why, I'd be happy to, Your Honor, but I want to be sure I'm responding
well, no,
to the question.
Well, if it's ambiguous, if the investigational exclusion is ambiguous in all its definitions, because it has multiple, you have to look at,
yes.
the terms require that you look at other definitions that are embedded, that are part of the plan.
Certainly.
Right?
Yes.
Right? And if he said it's unambiguous that there must be long-term evidence of the beneficial effects, then what he did is probably correct. But I want to know how can you say that this investigational exclusion as a matter of law is unambiguous?
Okay.
To me, it's ambiguous as to whether or not it's long-term, short-term.
Let me speak to that directly, Your Honor, because that's at the heart of the argument
and if
on
it's,
appeal.
If it is ambiguous, your interpretation is reasonable, his interpretation is reasonable. In that instance, you give the interpretation that's most beneficial to the insured.
Don't dispute that at all, but let me go to the definition and tell you why it's not ambiguous.
Okay.
His argument is that it doesn't have any temporal component to it. Doesn't matter how long something lasts or if over time there are detrimental effects. Mm-hmm. But the definition absolutely includes a temporal component.
Where is the definition?
Which definition are we referring to now?
Okay. We are talking about the definition of investigational. It is at in his second volume of the excerpt of record at pages 1 through 3. It's numbered SAM X 1 through 3, and it's in the administrative record at pages 00075 through 77. And what it says is, the scientific evidence, and I'm quoting here, must permit conclusions concerning the effect of health intervention on health outcomes, which include the disease process, injury or illness, length of life, ability to function, and quality of life. So breaking that down, Your Honors, one cannot reach a meaningful conclusion on how an intervention affects a disease process without considering how long a good effect lasts or when a bad effect might occur. One cannot reach a meaningful conclusion, Your Honor, on how an intervention affects injury or illness without considering how long the intervention might be helpful or when it might become harmful.
So are you agreeing with the plaintiff then that there is a time element involved, but the definition doesn't tell you what the time element is, so it's ambiguous?
No, I'm not agreeing it's ambiguous. What I'm saying is each of these components has a temporal piece,
right.
But you can't define it each intervention is going to be different. In our brief, we use the example of a new test technology for casting broken bones. That intervention might only need to last a few weeks or a few months. Our example, getting away from the disc in this case, was a heart valve where a person might have that for years, so you need to know how it reacts over years. Here we're talking about a disc implant. There's no dispute. Ms. Sammons was in her early 50s when the surgery occurred. So, you know, what happens over time is absolutely...
So it's sort of like the condition specific.
Absolutely. You can't set a fixed time period for any condition. It depends upon what you're talking about.
Well, you're saying the net health outcome obviously has to have some temporal aspect to it related to lifespan, durability, et cetera.
And what kind of intervention we're talking about. Here we're talking about a disc they're putting in your back, and this woman's in her early 50s. Yeah, it matters whether after 5 years the detriments are...
What if she was 98 and they said this has a good 2-year run on it, lifespan, actually she's lived beyond her lifespan, but she does happen to be 98. Well, so 2 years would be pretty good for her. Well, would that matter because she's 98?
I would argue not, because these interventions need to be looked at in the general sense in which they would apply. And disc implants are used in younger people, and they need to last a longer period of time. Here the problem...
But, I mean, how does the age of the recipient have any impact? What if she's 65 or 70 or 75?
Well, it might, because the scientific evidence might ultimately say... We only approve this intervention for people that are, you know, over 90, because in that case, they'll probably not outlive its benefits. So in that sense, it could matter, but not, you wouldn't apply it person by person. You'd apply it to the nature of the intervention. Here, the nature of the intervention is an implant into somebody's spine, and those implants, the problem here wasn't, you know, there just wasn't scientific evidence as to whether it would be good or bad beyond a 24-month period. And again, the finding of fact by the judge, and it's supported both by the FDA, and I haven't mentioned that piece yet, as well as the authorities cited in the medical policy, whether it's a disc implant or whether it's a fusion or any other spine surgery, you don't know with a spine surgery scientifically whether it's good or bad in aggregate for at least 5 years.
Because that comes from the medical policy, but does that come from the FDA, the medical policy?
Well, the medical policy does not come from the FDA.
Okay.
The medical policy, which is at the SAM X 6 through 7, is supported by 6 footnotes to extrinsic authorities. And the policy notes that the FDA approvals for these artificial discs required further study. The FDA approvals were based on 2-year studies, and they required longer-term studies. There is not a scrap of evidence in the record, Your Honor, to dispute the finding of fact that it takes at least 5 years to know one way or the other.
Once you get down to findings of fact, then, you know, the record, you're probably correct. But my concern is at the threshold, is how do you interpret this? Is it ambiguous or is it unambiguous?
It's unambiguous.
You say it's unambiguous in that it requires a long-term scientific study.
Well, in this case,
and here the district court's decision on de novo review is factually supported because the study has not yet been a long term complete analysis of these disc
Yeah, that's correct.
But the problem that I'm having, though, is it doesn't necessarily have to be read the way you're reading it.
Well, Your Honor,
you could read it reasonably just as the plaintiff argues.
Well, Your Honor, I've got to respectfully submit I can't read it that way. I can't read language that says you have to know how an intervention affects a disease process without that language inherently requiring consideration of whether it lasts 10 minutes, 6 months.
How is a reasonable insured supposed to know?
Well, the reasonable...
If the insured looks at this and says, hey, this isn't investigational, this is covered, is going to be covered.
First of all, as found by the judge, there was a pre-authorization request, which was denied, so she was told it was investigational.
So she has to accept that.
She doesn't have to accept it, but she knew going into the surgery that it was that the position of the defendants was going to be that it was excluded. She certainly is entitled to challenge that position.
And did she have the benefit of the policy at that time?
I would assume so, Your Honor. I don't know that she's never disputed that she didn't have a policy. That would have been issued by the Baker's Trust, and I assume it was.
Mr. Lindenauer, let me ask Judge Pius's question in a little different way, but the same question, I think.
Sure.
Do you understand the plaintiff's contention or what the plaintiff's contention that the policy is ambiguous is based on? You understand?
Well, not
you, do you understand his argument, Mr. Stanky's argument?
He shifted a little bit because now he's focusing on the word beneficial, and that word's only used in some of the, three criteria that are issued. But what he's saying is, I think, that you had to spell out some time period or you had to use the word long-term effects, and I would suggest that putting in a time period when this language covers multiple types of intervention, anything from a cast for a broken arm to a heart valve or a disc.
Isn't that what makes it ambiguous because it's so general? It doesn't tell you really, whether this particular procedure comes within the definition of investigation or not, does it?
This particular procedure, no. But there are an infinite number of procedures that have to be evaluated based on this investigational criteria. So spelling out for each procedure...
Really, isn't it really the evaluation of the scientific evidence that comes down to these factual findings here rather than it's taking the use of the word scientific, investigatory outcomes, and then the question boils down to these factual findings, doesn't it?
Exactly. You have to apply that definition in context. That definition has to apply to the whole panoply of potential procedures or supplies, all of which are defined as health interventions, that an insured could conceivably ask for. So the language has to be general. But
it's true that whenever you have a new medical procedure, it takes a while to see if it's going to stick, so to speak, and whether it's going to have long-term benefits. I think the question here is there is the study with respect to 2 years out, correct?
Correct.
And so the question is the standard of efficacy 5 years, where does that come from besides your policy?
In the context of this intervention, and as found by Judge Simon and supported in the record, you don't know with a back surgery whether it's good or bad in aggregate. And we're talking about in a population. Some people are going to be good, some people are going to be bad. But you don't know overall whether it's good or bad for at least 5 years, because that's how long with a back surgery the beneficial effects need to fade and the detrimental effects...
That's based on scientific reviews and studies
absolutely,
that are submitted.
Your Honor.
Okay.
Yeah, it's submitted in the medical policy, and it's also very consistent with what the FDA did in approving these devices, saying we are mandating longer-term studies. For lumbar discs, it was specific in saying 5 years It was, you know, there was a range for cervical discs, but for lumbar discs, FDA said we want a five-year study.
You know, my problem is how a reasonable insured looking at this would understand that to be the case.
Well, Your Honor, I think the language is pretty clear on its face when it says you need to have scientific evidence.
Somebody in the plaintiff's position here, when she looked at this, she would have obviously understood that this disc situation was not going to be covered.
Well, again, she was informed of that when she requested pre-authorization. Mm-hmm. You know, scientific would an
even assuming she got, you know, the notice from the plant, from the plant administrators, and takes their letter and looks at the plan language, she would understand that it's not covered.
She would not necessarily, here, Your Honor, I've got to go with you, because
correct.
Would she know that scientific evidence is a defined term, and it requires, you know, peer-reviewed studies or government authority, essentially, paraphrasing. Would an average person know what the peer-reviewed literature showed? She could have asked. I mean, there are many ways you could work to ascertain that. Would you know it just off the face of the language? No, but that's... That is the plan definition, and under ERISA, that there's no ambiguity in it. And the rule of construing language against a drafter doesn't mean that one might be, as a layperson, able to draw conclusions simply by the plan definition. Again, this required an understanding of the scientific evidence. So I have to go with you, Your Honor. Could I read this and it... know what the scientific evidence showed? No, but the scientific evidence is available, and it's known to physicians, it's known to the FDA, it's known to...
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have some rebuttal time.
Thank you, judges. Just very quickly, the district court did make the correct factual finding that TDR is at least equivalent to the alternative fusion in the short term. That should have been sufficient under the plain plan language. Number two, this five-year requirement is not evidenced in any of the scientific evidence before the court. It's only referenced in this medical policy, which cites articles and scientific evidence that Regents chose not to submit. It's only in their medical policy that they cite these six footnotes to authorities that they chose not to submit to the court. So all the district court had before him was the FDA study, which says at least is beneficial at 24 months. I can't find where in the FDA study it says we need 5 years of results to make a determination. No, it says 24 months is enough to show it's at least as beneficial as the alternative fusion in 24 months. The length of time is not stated in the definition. It would be very easy for Regents to define beneficial or to include the term long-term before beneficial. Very easy if they want to have make it clear to their insured that they need long-term beneficial evidence. And the scientific evidence, Regents has submitted none to refute the FDA article, just this medical policy, which is akin to hearsay. It's citing articles that are not in evidence before the court. The examples cited by counsel for showing bad effects of different example procedures, there's nothing in evidence showing that the TDR procedure has any harmful effects at 24 months or any other time, only beneficial effects. The plan can reasonably interpret it to include those 24-month beneficial effects. So, therefore, under the rule of contra preferentum, the ambiguity should be resolved in favor of my client. That's beneficial enough. The length of time is not stated in the policy. Counsel's kind of grasping at straws, reaching for it, the other part of the investigational definition that references length of life. Well, that's quite a stretch to say that means a reasonable insured should look at that and understand that to mean at least 5 years worth of studies for the TDR procedure. Quite a stretch. So I think it's indisputable this language is ambiguous, and the district court erred by construing that ambiguity to favor Regents instead of Ms. Sammons.
Thank you. Thank both counsel for your arguments this morning. Sammons versus Regents Blue Cross is submitted. The next case for argument will be Clatsop Residence against Walmart versus the Army Corps of Engineers.